Tonight we're going to be discussing Shavu Brachas. There's many elements and parts to discuss Shavu Brachas. The part that we're going to discuss tonight is really those people who make a Shavu Brachas. Common custom today in Klal Yisrael is when someone gets married, so either family members, relatives, friends, they make the Shavu Brachas for the Baalei HaSimcha, which is an interesting thing, which we'll discuss where that minute came from, really. But there are some important halachas to know. If you're going to go out and make a Shavu Brachas for somebody, which is a fine thing to do, there are some interesting halachas that come up. So let's try to discuss some of the common shaylas that will come up if you're going to be hosting a Shavu Brachas. And I hope next week to discuss the flip side if you're going to be an attendee at a Shavu Brachas. You can either host it or be a guest. It's obviously a lot cheaper to be a guest than it is to host, but we'll discuss the numerous halachic shaylos that come up for being a guest. But today let's talk about being the host. So where does this whole idea of Shavu Brachas come from? It's very interesting. In Gemara, there's not much literature really about the whole idea of Shavu Brachas post the wedding. There's a couple of Gemaras in the first parak of Ksubis. If you look at number one, the Gemara tells us, Tan Rabbanan, Mivarchim Birchas Chasanim Ba'asara Kol Sheva. We make what's known as Birchas Chasanim, which is what we call Shavu Brachas, which is done at the first night at the Chasana. It's done right after they read the Ksuba. They make the Erison, they give the ring, then they have a break by reading the Ksuba and everyone talks, and then they go through the Shavu Brachas. So the Gemara says that these Birchas Chasanim are recited by Asara. You have to have 10 people, you have to have 10 males above the age of 13. Kol Shiva, all the 7 days of Shavu Brachas. So we'll need to talk tonight exactly when the clock starts. How do you calculate the 7 days? Based on what? Based on the beginning of the wedding, the ending of the wedding. We'll have to figure out how that works.
Is this happening after Kedushin or after Erusin?
So this is talking about all the Shavu Brachas. What we call today Shavu Brachas that we do today after the wedding, the night after the wedding, and even that night of the wedding, right? That part of the wedding that no one sticks around for, everyone leaves early, which next week we'll have to talk about. Is it so simple you're allowed to leave early before Shavu Brachas conclude? That's for next week. So if you leave early at weddings, you might not want to come next week's share. But we'll see. It's a very fundamental machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik about leaving weddings early. But in any case, this is talking about either the Shavu Brachas at the end of the wedding or the ones that happen throughout the week afterwards. You know, the week, the day
so
after the Chasana.
Is the Gemara talking about Erusin or Kedushin?
No, this is the Gemara talking about the Birchas Chasanim is after both procedures were done. Right. This is what we call Shavu Brachas. V'hu shebo'u panim chadoshes. Assuming you have what's known as panim chadoshes, and that we'll need to talk about more next week, what makes someone panim chadoshes, how do you fulfill panim chadoshes, and when is panim chadoshes not necessary? Okay, so this is the whole Gemara. The Gemara says you make Shavu Brachas for 7 days. But where did this whole idea come from? If you look in the Torah, we only find in the Torah a discussion about the first year of marriage, that you're supposed to stay the first year, you're not supposed to go to war, you're not supposed to travel too far away from your wife. People have this thing about being away from their spouse within the first year. But where does it say anything in the Torah about having Shavu Brachas? Where do we find it where they're supposed to recite Brachas for the first week after your marriage? So the Yushalmi Ksubis writes, interestingly, V'shiva Moshe Hiskin Shiva Simeha Mishta V'shiva Simeha Eva. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted two things to Klal Yisrael. One was the 7 days of mourning that Nebuch we sometimes have to live with, and the 7 days of joy is for Chasan and Kala. That was all instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted both those things to Klal Yisrael. The Shiva Simei HaMishta of Chasan and Kala, and he also instituted the 7 days of mourning. It's ironic, in some communities, in not religious communities, they sit Shiva for 3 days. Doesn't really fit with the word so well. You're sitting Shiva, sounds like seven, you're sitting here for three, doesn't really fit. But that's what some people do. They sit 3 days, 1 day. But this is all Moshe Rabbeinu is doing.
Three days
also, that's also true. Now we find the halacha about if you're getting married for a second time. So where was Moshe Rabbeinu coming from when he did this? So if you look on the Pirushim, on the Yushalmi, the two popular Pirushim, both as the Pnei Moshe and the Karben Edom. So the Pnei Moshe writes in number 3, Kloimar, Yesh Remez Min HaTorah L'Shiva Seimei HaMishta. There is some hint into the Torah to what we know today as Shavu Brachas. Where do you see in the Torah? It says in the Pasuk by Yaakov, Malish Shavua Zois, that after Yaakov married Leah, finding out it wasn't really Leah and he got tricked by his father-in-law, so he said, okay, fine, so now let me marry Rachel. So Lavan was a very firm guy. Lavan said, not yet. We have to first finish out the week, and when the week is over, then we could talk about marrying the next daughter. What's the significance of that week? So you see, there's a concept called Shavu Brachas. Where do you find Avelos, says the Pnei Moshe, because it says in the Pasuk, Yas la'ovev evo shavas yom. They did Avelos for Yaakov for 7 days. Now, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu looked into the Torah and saw it in the Torah and said, okay, you know what, I'm going to establish it. Meaning, he found the pre-existing concept in the Torah, although not required by the Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu decided based on what he read in the Torah. If you look in the Korban Eidah, he's a little stronger. He writes, Kloimar, Midda Araisa, Islam Nuhu, Shivas Yimei HaMishteh. We have a concept of Sheva Brachas, Midda Araisa. Where? Because it says in the Pasuk by Yaakov, Malei Shavu Azois, finish out the week. Some Rishonim really believe that Sheva Brachas is the Eraisa, learned that from the Pasuk of Yaakov. There's a bit of a problem. The big problem is that we have a rule, we don't learn our things from before Matan Torah. We don't have rules in Judaism of things that happened before we got the Torah. Whatever was given at Har Sinai is what became our rules. So this was not given at Har Sinai, it's not a Pasuk anywhere. The fact that it happened to Yaakov and Lavan, that's too early. That doesn't have a status of a mitzvah. So that's a bit of a discussion. But many people assume that it is Doraisa, the idea of Sheva Brachas is Doraisa, and it's learned out from what took place by Yaakov Avinu. Right, so that we spoke about actually a few weeks ago, that they bring this as a proof that it's okay to learn things from Goyim. And many people say, birthdays, who made up birthdays? Paroi. And Paroi was a Goyim, we can't learn things from a Goyim. They say, what do you mean? Lavan. Lavan taught us Sheva Brachas. Lavan taught us Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So you could learn out things from a Goyim. So some people actually bring that as a Raya, that we could learn out things like that. The Ramban, on his commentary on that Pasuk in Chumash and Pashas Vayetze, he disagrees with Rashi. Rashi says that when Lavan told him, wait out the week, that's because of the whole idea of Sheva Brachas. The Ramban says it can't be. Why, says the Ramban number 5? Vani lo yadati. Ki shivasi yameh mishta takanas maishu abeinu li Yisrael. Sheva Brachas wasn't around in the times of Lavan. That only came later on in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what was Yaakov and Lavan discussing waiting a week? Listen to this. This is an interesting historical bit of information, says the Ramban. Maybe what was going on, that was just the accepted custom, was to wait a week for Avelus and to rejoice for 7 days after the wedding. Not halachically binding. It wasn't binding. It wasn't binding until Moshe Rabbeinu came along. In the times of Yaakov and Lavan, there was no such halacha of Sheva Brachas. So why did Lavan say Malash? Why did they make him wait a week? Because that was common custom. Everyone for the first week after marriage had this honeymoon. So therefore, it says the Ramban, it wasn't really halachically mandated. It was just that was common custom at the time in history. They want to bring a raya. Many mefarshim bring a raya that Sheva Brachas is Dairaisa from a Gemara Ma'id Kat. The Gemara might cut in the Avzayim base quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ubiyoyim haroiz boy." The day you show the nega to the kohen, the pasuk is discussing when we show various growths to the kohen, and on the day you show it to the kohen will render the tzaras either tameh or tar. We know that the only person that can make a person tameh is the kohen actually saying you have tzaras. A person can be walking head to toe with tzaras. If the kohen never makes an official declaration that you have tzaras, this fellow doesn't become tameh. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, what does it mean the day you show it to the kohen? You show it to the kohen every day. So the Gemara says, no. Yesh yoim. There's some days you don't show it to the kohen. Don't ask, don't tell policy. You don't show the kohen the nega. Just don't show it to him. Why? Which days? If a chosin realizes during Sheva Brachas that he has a nega, don't show it to the kohen. You don't want to ruin his Sheva Brachas. So the Mefarshim say, well, wait a second. You're telling me that's pshat in the pasuk. When the Torah wrote these words, the day you show it to the Kohen means some days show it, some days don't show it. Don't show it during Shivas Yemei HaMishta of Sheva Brachas. So clearly the idea of Sheva Brachas must be Dairaisa, because I learned that from a pasuk. And that's the opinion of many, that the idea of Sheva Brachas is Dairaisa. Either it's Dairaisa from this pasuk, either it's Dairaisa from Yaakov, or it's a Takana from Moshe Rabbeinu. In any case, it's important, and the common custom is we do Sheva Brachas. But the big question with Sheva Brachas is one really obligated to make Sheva Brachas? Or if it happens to work out in a beautiful setting that there's 10 Jews in a room with the chassan and kala, and there are panim chadashas, then you make Sheva Brachas. Or, no, there's an obligation to make sure that every day, or maybe even twice a day, that you have Sheva Brachas. And this is a very common shiloh, often with couples, that are two ways the shiloh comes up. Some couples are not interested in Sheva Brachas, they'd rather stay home and eat alone. Is that right? Or sometimes when they're traveling, if one side's from out of town and there's a travel day, there might be an in-between, a day in between where there's no time for Sheva Brachas. They're catching a plane and they're traveling. Is that right? Or we should always make sure that every day, a day should not pass without the recital of Sheva Brachas. That's a very interesting shiloh. You speak to people that have experienced or heard of pre-Europe style, supposedly in Europe there was very little Sheva Brachas like we have today. They did not have Sheva Brachas every day. At best they had it once, and if it was once, it was on Shabbos. That they say is a more of an American phenomenon, that we have Sheva Brachas every single day, and we have lavish Sheva Brachas. We have it in restaurants, and we have it at people's homes. We have beautiful Sheva Brachas. But the question is, what changed in history? So most people think what changed was Klal Yisrael's financial situation. In Europe, we were predominantly not wealthy, and therefore we couldn't afford it. Now, I don't believe that's true, because I think there were wealthy Jews in Europe as there were today. I think to say that everyone in Europe was poor is not true. It's clearly not true. Historically, it's not true. There were wealthy Jews also. So does that mean the wealthy Jews did have Sheva Brachas every day or not? So there's an interesting Shaila presented to the Rav Palm, to the Ben Ishchai, where he addresses a Shaila about Sheva Brachas. Is one mechuyev to go out and make Sheva Brachas every day, or is it sufficient? If it happens to work out perfectly, then you do. So he writes like this. In his answer, he writes, Hinei. He was talking about a case where the couple was making their own Sheva Brachas and they didn't have a lot of money. Right? This wasn't like today where everyone made Sheva Brachas for you. The Chassan used to take responsibility for his Sheva Brachas. So he just gets married, he has to pay for a wedding, and now he's got to spend the whole week having 10 people at a meal and feed them also. So he writes, if the Chassan can't afford it, he is not obligated to go into debt to find every day, 7 days in a row, 10 people to eat a meal with him. You're not obligated to make Sheva Brachas. It's preferred. Says the Ben Ishchai, but if let's say you have the money to do it, or let's say, for example, you could show the Sheva Brachas, or you have family members that are making you Sheva Brachas. You just say, no, thank you. I don't want to go to Sheva Brachas because I'm too tired. I'd rather just spend the night alone with my new spouse. Writes the Ben Ishchai, that's not right. He says, "Uvadai lemitzvah gedoyla techashuv loy." You should consider this a very big mitzvah. Lasay suda mireyis lechasnusay bazmaras asar levarich uleshevach leshmay yisbarach b'shiva, and you should use it as a chance to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not right to cut out on Sheva Brachas just because you're not in the mood. Rabbi Belsky in his Sefer Shulchan Alevi has a similar psak, where he writes, although like the Rav Paulim, you're not mechuyev to make Sheva Brachas, but you should also not take your honeymoon during the week of Sheva Brachas. He thinks, why are you running away from Sheva Brachas? Sheva Brachas is a chance for you to get brachas. Why would you want to run away from that? Yes, it gets annoying at some point, I'm not going to deny it, and it gets tiresome at some point, and you get sick of eating Chinese food, whatever else they give you. But lemaisa, it's a big chance to be able to partake in something that's very special. So he writes also, it's not correct that people run away from Sheva Brachas when they could go to Sheva Brachas. If a person can attend the Sheva Brachas, he should definitely attend the Sheva Brachas. So that could be the reason why people in Europe didn't go to Sheva Brachas, because it's not mandatory. You don't have to. That was another reason also. That's correct. That was also the reason why they did the same thing, to try to cut corners. So that's the assumed reason. And this is clear. If you look, for example, the Aruch HaShulchan number 8, the Aruch HaShulchan is discussing a halacha about sukkahs. Because the Gemara over in Sukkah discusses that a chassan is potter from sitting in a sukkah all the days of sukkahs, because since he has to have his whole entourage with him, there's no room for him and his 10 people in the sukkah. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, what are you talking about? The etzlanu, by us. Where the Aruch HaShulchan lived, the Aruch HaShulchan was a Rav in the Vardik, in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he writes, right in his days, the Etzlanu Eino Isin Kol Shiva Simei Hamish Tesudas Kiyadua. It's known that already in our days, we were not making 7 full days of Sheva Brachas. It just wasn't happening. So therefore, he writes how it affects Hilchos Sukkah. So clearly, in the times of the late 1800s, early 1900s, they were not making Sheva Brachas every single day. But we can really go even further back. I found the Tshuvas Chassam Sefer, an unbelievable Tshuva from the Chassam Sefer, that sheds light on why they didn't make Sheva Brachas every day, and it wasn't because of the financial situation. The Chassam Sefer explains that there's a Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis says that the bracha that we make, Shasimcha B'moinoi, that bracha that we make in the Sheva Brachas, that bracha could technically be made for the first 12 months after the Chasana. It's interesting that we find, in the same way when it comes to mourning, we find 7 days, 30 days, and 12 months. We find the same thing with Simcha. The Gemara says in Ksubis that the bracha of Shasimcha B'moinoi can be recited up till 12 months. Depends. If the first 7 days it's recited, then between 7 and 30 it's recited if there's an event with the Chassan and Kala. From 30 days to 12 months, only if they were there for the purpose of the Chassan and Kala. Meaning, if a person shows up the first 30 days and there happens to be a party, the Chassan and Kala are there, but I didn't come for them. I came for something else. So you make the bracha Shasimcha B'moinoi. After that, up till 12 months, only if you were invited for the Simcha per se. So you see clearly that the bracha of Shasimcha B'moinoi is recited up to 12 months. Comes along the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch and he writes, but today we don't do that. Today we don't recite this bracha Shasimcha B'moinoi up to 12 months. Why not? So the Shulchan Aruch says, because we're so me'urev b'tzaris. we live with such a sad and difficult lives, as was the life of many Jews at that time, even post the Zman HaGemara. So the Jews couldn't really experience Shasimcha B'mayinoy with a full heart. They weren't feeling Simcha. Life was very difficult. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, for that reason we don't say Shasimcha B'mayinoy. Says the Chassam Sofer, now I know why the Jews didn't make Sheva Brachas for 7 days. People weren't that happy for 7 days. It wasn't easy to experience simcha for such a long amount of time when life was so difficult. So the Chassam Sofer writes, he says, "Umiyom elei shemanu." I never heard anyone making Sheva Brachas for a full week. Again, this doesn't mean if there's 10 people together that you won't make the brachas. It means you're not going to go out of your way to do what we do today. It says, "Umiyom elei shemanu v'leinu b'pal demiyayin shabarchu." There was never Sheva Brachas after the first day. They used to make Shabbos Sheva Brachas. Why was Shabbos the one day? Because in Shabbos you're not allowed to be depressed. Although you had a hard week and things were terrible and there was a pogrom in the city and homes were being burned down on Shabbos, you're not allowed to express avelus. So the one day of the week where the Jews were kind of forced to be in a good mood was Shabbos. So that's how they used to make Shabbos, brachas and Shabbos. So the Chassam Sofer's reason is not like everyone thinks because the Jews didn't have money. That wasn't the reason. It was that the Jews that lived difficult lives mixed with so much sorrow and anguish, they couldn't really experience honest simcha. And therefore they just didn't make Shabbos, brachas for 7 days. Because you still have to be the idea, and we'll talk more about this on halachic level, the theme of Sheva Brachas is Simcha. But if everyone's, depressed, and no one's in a good mood, it's a very, it doesn't really accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. So therefore, that's the way the Chassam Sofer explains the minute. Now today, we don't do that, Baruch Hashem, we live hopefully happier lives than that, and we go out of our way to make Sheva Brachas. However, I quoted over here number 10 from the Sefer Seveya Smochis, very popular sefer on Sheva Brachas. The whole sefer is written on Sheva Brachas, written by Yidden Eretz Yisrael, Rav Belitsky. I believe he's still alive. I think he lives in Bnei Brak. So he writes like this. He says, "V'im nirish ha'aricha suda Sheva Brachas, piritzifus machbidus ala chasim v'kala." And this happens all the time. The chasim v'kala get worn out. By the time they get to the end, they don't feel well. They're sick. They can't go. They're tired. So he writes, "Yesh l'noig b'tzura shlo yadov v'kinoit ha'machbid aleim." You should try to make the Sheva Brachas anyway. That's not going to be the biggest burden to the chasim v'kala. Now, doesn't mean we shouldn't do it, because we mentioned earlier we try to make it, but also try to use some form of a seichel and try to make it in a way that it doesn't become such a burden on the chasim v'kala. Try to, those people who make the Sheva Brachas, try to sit down and try to work it out that they don't have to travel from one state to another state to get the Sheva Brachas. Try to make it work out a way that it shouldn't be such a burden on the chasim and the kala. Okay, so this is what we do today. Today we go out of our way to make Sheva Brachas, and every once in a while these shailas do pop up. Let's say someone's traveling, or there's no Sheva Brachas left. There's no one who wants to take it. What should you do then? So the answer is, Meikar Adin, you don't have to have Sheva Brachas. If there's no 10 people, there's no Panam Chadash, you don't have to. Should we start gathering people together and collecting money to make a Sheva Brachas? I don't know, I'm not sure. I think that's a more of a loaded question. But the minute today is that we go out of our way to make Sheva Brachas. But we have to learn when exactly does the chi of Sheva Brachas apply. Sheva Brachas is the 7 days after something. When does the clock start for the 7 days? You have a lot of people that want to make Sheva Brachas. Today we have the opposite. Everyone wants to make a Sheva Brachas. So the question is, sometimes they're making Sheva Brachas when Sheva Brachas is over. But because they want to make Sheva Brachas, because this is their best friend's daughter getting married, and they made Sheva Brachas for their kids, so I got to give back. But you have to make sure that the Sheva Brachas you're making is not a Brachal Vatal. It's a beautiful event if it's done within the 7 days. So when does the clock start for the 7 days? So I found the chiyuv on the Sheva Brachas. Where did it become that family and friends do it? You don't find that anywhere else. So I think it used to be the chiyuv on the girl's father. The girl's father used to get stuck with all the Sheva Brachas. And I think the reason is because they used to move into the girl's house after they got married. And as we'll see later tonight, that some people hold Sheva Brachas is only done in the house of the chassan and the kala. So what was the chassan kala's house? His in-law's house. So the father-in-law got stuck with the Sheva Brachas. He got himself a new son-in-law, and he got a lot of debt along with it. So I think to ease the burden on the parents, they started having neighbors and friends taking a night this way to make his life a little easier. But that's the way they say. That used to be the original minhag. But yeah, I guess it would be the chassan's obligation to make sure these things took place. So when does the clock start? Very important. You get married some of this time around Shkia, Tzitzit Chavim. When does the 7 days start? So the Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch very clearly when the clock starts. He writes, "Ve'elu zayin yomim maschilin miyad la'achas zayin brachas sheberich birushain." It's the clock starts after the Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah. So you got to know when the Sheva Brachas were recited under the Chuppah. It does not start when the meal took place. Many times I'll have a wedding that the wedding will be the Chuppah part's over and the meal won't start for another hour and a half because they're taking pictures. Says the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, the clock starts from the Sheva Brachas that are recited under the Chuppah. So that's something you have to remember. So this Shaila comes up a lot when you make day afternoon weddings, which is very common in the summer. So you're going to make an afternoon wedding. So let's say for someone makes a 12 o'clock chasana. So they make a 12 o'clock chasana, so the chuppah with the Sheva Brachas is over by 2 o'clock. So then Sunday is day one of Sheva Brachas. So then it goes Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Sheva Brachas ends on Shabbos. So now you run into a big problem, because you want to make Shabbos Sheva Brachas, and you usually do it at Shal Shudas. The problem is Shal Shudas, many times, the Brachas you're going to make is going to be after Shkia. It's already after the seventh day. If it's after the seventh day, it's probably not, you're not allowed to make Sheva Brachas. So how do you deal with this issue? Again, it's most common on Sunday, but it can come up easily on a legal holiday. A lot of people make weddings on legal holidays, July 4th, whatever it is. So you got to keep a track, and when you finish, when you actually are no longer allowed to recite Sheva Brachas. So if you look at number 12, in the Sefer Seveya Samachas, he writes very clearly, what would happen if the Sheva Brachas gets schlepped out? Let's say you call the Sheva Brachas for before Shkia. Let's say it's Shkia is 8:15. You call Sheva Brachas for 7:30. And everyone eats and everyone comes, but you don't get to benching till way after Shkia. So are you still allowed to make Sheva Brachas because you started the meal? And I think this Shaila happens a lot for many people that host the seventh day Sheva Brachas. They have to know this halacha. When do you calculate the day? So do you look at when you started the meal? Or do you look at when you finished the meal? When you get to Sheva Brachas, it's now way after Shkia. It's now already the eighth day. Are you still allowed to say Sheva Brachas? So if you look in the Seveya Samachas, he writes clearly, you're not allowed to. He says, Afim nigmra kaidim ashkia. Let's say you finished eating before Shkia. Virakla hispikul levarach Sheva Brachas kaidim ashkia, but you didn't get the Sheva Brachas in. Ein nevarachim la'achar Shkia. You're not allowed to recite the Sheva Brachas after Shkia. So this is something that's very important to know, that the seventh day, you got to get the Sheva Brachas in before Shkia. So in the winter, it's going to be very hard. In the summer, you got to also keep an eye on the clock. In the summer, Shkia. Oh, so the kash is, why is it different than benching? Okay, that's what we're going to get to in a second. That's the accepted halach. However, they bring down in the Sefer Oil Yeshurin, written by Rabbi Felder Zatzal from Philadelphia, where he quotes B'Shem Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe gave us a little bit more wiggle room. Rav Moshe held that you have 40 minutes after Shkia. 40 minutes after Shkia. So even though many Achrayim say Shkia is the cutoff, nothing left of that, we're Samech on Rav Moshe. The Rav Moshe held you have 40 minutes after. Okay, it doesn't give you that much time. Again, Shkia now is what, around 8:20, so you have till 9 o'clock. Most Sheva Brachas are not over at 9 o'clock. They first get started by 9 o'clock, right? Till everyone shows up and they get moving. So according to Rav Moshe, so you have 40 minutes after Shkia. But after that, the Chayri is stuck. So the question is, why is it different than Yalav Yaveh and Ritzeh? The halacha over there is that as long as you started, let's say for example, a person sits down to eat a meal on Rosh Chodesh, and he sits down to supper when it's still daylight, and he has a long supper on Rosh Chodesh, and by the time he finishes, now it's not, it's Matzah Rosh Chodesh. So does he say Yalvi Yavin? The answer is he does. Similar, let's say you eat Shal Shudas, you start Shal Shudas 20 minutes before Shkia, by the time the rabbi finishes his drasha by Mincha and everyone benches, it's already 10 minutes after the Zman, you're already allowed to do Malacha. So do you say, the answer is you do. So what do you see from there? You see you go after the start of the meal. So if that's the way it works over there, why shouldn't it work the same way by Sheva Brachas? So if you look over here in the Shari Tshuva number 14, he addresses this question, and he quotes from the Ginaz V'Radim, who says they're not the same. And he doesn't say why. He just tells you the fact. Fact is, they don't follow the same rules. So although with Yalav Yaveh and Ritzeh, that is the halacha, that's not the halacha for benching. That's the opinion of Reb Kiva Eger, and that's the way we paskin. The question is why? Why shouldn't it follow the same logic? So I found in a tshuva in the Elef Lecha Shloime from Shloime Kluger, where he mamish was asked this shayla, and he answers the same answer as the Ginaz V'Radim, makes no reference to the Shari Tshuva, and he gives his own answer, like the Shari Tshuva, that you would not be allowed to say Sheva Brachas after Shkia, but he comes with a lumdus. He says, what's the difference? And his lumdus basically is that there's a difference between benching and Sheva Brachas. And he explains that the chi of benching is dependent upon eating. The moment you start eating bread, at that moment you have a chi of benching. So when did you start eating the bread? You ate it during the day. So if you ate it during the day, hakol ha'ilach achar ha'aschal. However, says Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, the chi of Sheva Brachas is not totally in eating, It's totally in benching. The din is when you bench, you then have a chiv to recite Sheva Brachas along with the benching. So when I bench, it's already not the seventh day anymore. So therefore, he paskins, he says it on his own svar. Therefore, he says when it comes to Sheva Brachas, the chiv is not the eating, the chiv is the benching. And when the benching takes place, it's ready after day seven. And therefore, he concludes with the Ginas Varadim that in such a scenario, Sheva Brachas is not recited. So if you're going to host a seventh day Sheva Brachas, so what most people do is they really make it on the sixth day, going into the seventh day. And in that day, there's no Sheva Brachas the next morning. That's what most people do. But if you're going to host a seventh-day Sheva Brachas, you really have to watch the clock to make sure you're going to have everything done till Lechatchila, before Shkia. I mean, Sheva Brachas, everything done, finished. Everything's over, everyone leaves. Either before Shkia, or according to Rav Moshe, up till 40 minutes after Shkia. But more than that, it's really not right. And after that, you're running into a real shayla of brachas lebatalim. You know, it's a beautiful thing to make a shayla of brachas, but it's not a beautiful thing to make brachas for no reason. And spend a lot of money on an event that shouldn't even take place. So it's something that we, as a host, if you're going to be hosting a shayla of brachas, it's something you should be aware of. There is an issue. Yeah?
Two suitors in what is apparently the same day, but one... lunchtime and one.
We're going to see later on that many people do that bedafka. They have bedafka two sudas every day during Sheva Brachas. We'll see why there's such a custom. And some people even have three. I met a couple once, they told me their pride and joy was that Makbet have three Sheva Brachas every for each meal. I said, okay, you put on a lot of weight, but okay, I'm happy for you guys. You got to find 10 people every single time and panam chadashas. But okay, we'll see why there's such a minig. Right, that's a separate shayla. Have how many days you're going to have? That's a little bit more complicated. About how many days you have for Sheva Brachas, that the Shulchan Aruch lays out for us, depending on who wasn't married first. He wasn't, or she wasn't, if she wasn't ever married, or he was married, that's already a discussion. So Reb Shmuel Vosner has an interesting tshuva where he talks about the more common case, the Sunday afternoon chasna. So the Sunday afternoon chasna presents a major issue for Shabbat Sheva Brachas. Right? Because you're going to get married Sunday afternoon. So Sunday counts as day one for the Sheva Brachas. So Shabbos is the seventh day. When does Shabbos Sheva Brachas take place in the shul? Shal Shodas time. When do they get to benching? Way after Shkia. Probably even after 40 minutes. So what do they do? And we've all been to shuls where they all make Sheva Brachas, right? Well, what's everyone holding their hat on? What's the right to do so? So Shmuel Vosner thinks that if the seventh day Sheva Brachas is a Monday, then absolutely no Sheva Brachas after Shkia. But if it's Shabbos, says Rav Shmuel Vosner, I think you can do it. Why? So he explains, because although, halachically speaking, it's not Shabbos, but since we're still keeping the Kedushas of Shabbos, we didn't make Havdalah yet, we're still acting like it's Shabbos, he feels that that would be enough to allow a person to be able to recite the Sheva Brachas, even though it's beyond the Zman after the seventh day. So he thinks, and if you look at the Tshuva, he writes at the end, he says, V'chei nohog alma. That's common custom. Common custom is that on the seventh day of Sheva Brachas, which falls out on Shabbos, people will recite the Sheva Brachas even though it's way after day seven. On the side, on Sheva Talevi, he brings on the side, but there are many Achreim who disagree with him. He says, but I found Achreim who say I'm not right. That even on the seventh day, even if it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to make after Shkia. So he says, you're right, it's a machloikis. So those people who want to make Sheva Brachas on Shabbos after Shkia, they can be saying Mechamash Tikkul Torah, but they're still better not to. I think in most shuls today, they make it way after Shkia, if it's a seventh day. But according to Rav Shmuel Vosner, he wants to come to the defense of Klal Yisrael and say that because it's Shabbos and we're still keeping Kedushas of Shabbos, that's why you're allowed to keep Sheva Brachas, even though it's way beyond the seventh day. If Yaakov Kabanetsky is quoted like this in Emes Yaakov, he writes, Kishachup ha'isib yemal of kaidem ha'shkia, when you made a Sunday wedding and the chuppah took place before Shkia, v'hasuda b'layla, but the meal at least took place at night. Because there's a machloikis achrein, and when the clock starts for seven, does it start at the Sheva Brachas under the chuppah, or does it start at the meal? We paskin it starts at the Sheva Brachas, but there are those who hold it starts at the meal. So Reb Yaakov, let's say you make a Sunday wedding in the summer, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. So the chuppah is all going to be before Shkia, but the meal will take place at night. So Reb Yaakov, in that case, you can have Shabbos Sheva Brachas on Shabbos up till Tzeisek Yechavim. So he gives you a little bit more time. Rav Moshe gives you 40 minutes, Reb Yaakov gives you another 10 minutes. Because let's say you hold 50 minutes for Tzeisek Yechavim, so you have another 10 minutes. So according to Reb Yaakov, if the meal was at night and the chasna was during the day, then you have 50 minutes. A bigger shayla that comes up on a Shabbos Sheva Brachas is, when does the chasna kala drink the kais? Because now that it's Matzei Shabbos, you're not allowed to drink it until Yer Havdalah. So what does the chasna kala do? So there's a couple different menhagim in Klal Yisrael. Some people have just the chasna kala drink a little bit. Some people have no one drinks, they wait till Havdalah. Reb Yaakov held that if you finish with more than a half an hour before Tzeisek Yechavim, so then he held that the chasna and the kala are allowed to drink, And maybe even the Mavarech, the person who led the benching, could also drink. That was at least the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. That's a bigger discussion about what do you do on Shabbos. I found over here a Gevaldik Sefer called Sheva Brachas Bahalacha Ubahagada. Great name for a Sefer. Sheva Brachas in Halacha and in Haggadah. So he brings down over here an interesting minog. I'm not saying we should all do it, but it's an interesting minog. He writes there's a minog to make Sheva Brachas twice each of the 7 days of Sheva Brachas. Why twice? So he writes over here because you want to get to 14 meals. 7 times 2 is 14. Why? B'shiva letzadi ches brachas. To counteract the 98 brachas of the klolos that we find in the Torah. Because it says in the Torah that what? That the reason why we get the klolos ha-shaleivatas Hashem elekech b'simcha b'tuv leiv, because we didn't serve Hashem with simcha. So we want to counteract with the sheva brachas, so we go out of our way to make that amount of sheva brachas. So we go out and we have 14 sheva brachas, 77 times 2, and that's how, and the sheva brachas, or 6 brachas, depends how you want to count it, and that's how we counteract the klolos. That's why he brings in such a minute. If you go to the next page, in the Chassidish courts, they had an interesting custom, is that in the Chassidish communities, the big Sheva Brachas was the 7th Sheva Brachas. For some people, like Shabbat Sheva Brachas are big Sheva Brachas. In the Chassidish community, the 7th day was the big Sheva Brachas. Why? So he writes over here from the Sanzer Rebbe, that he held the Iker HaSimcha, but Simcha HaSasun, Hu B'yayim Achren. That the main Simcha is the last day. Why? Because we have a rule, everything goes with the ending. So since the 7th day is the end of the whole celebration, it's the end of the chasana and the sheva brachas, so the 7th day is the big... So if you want to make a sheva brachas, you should try to get the 7th sheva brachas. That's a big sheva brachas to make. Then he quotes over here that in Vishnis and in Skver, they make a big deal for the 7th sheva brachas, and they say an interesting idea. We all know, it's brought down, that those family members that are deceased come to this world, whatever that means, to join in the simcha. So the question is, how long do they stay for? They go after the mitzvah tans, they go before the bill is given out. When do they exactly they leave? So he quotes over here from Chassidim that they stay till the last sheva brachas. That's why the last sheva brachas is so special. I don't know. It's hard to know. So that's what he writes of it. Okay, so that's something interesting to note, that there's a psalm minug to be makbid on the last of the 7 sheva brachas. We all know that you only recite sheva brachas if there's a meal with benching. If chas and kal come together for snacks, or you meet the chas and kal on the street and there's 10 Jews surrounding them, you don't make sheva brachas, right? Everyone knows that. But that's not really so pasha. It's really a big machloikish rishonim. That's what we pass. If you look in Shulchan Aruch number 20, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "V'varchem berchas chasan bebeis chasanim, acha berchas amazon." We make sheva brachas after benching. B'chol suda v'suda sh'oichel sham, any meal at the 8. But if you look in the Beis Yosef number 21, he quotes an interesting Masechta Seifim. The Masechta Seifim says the minhag used to be that every morning they'd go greet the chasan and the kala, and they'd make sheva brachas. No meals, no food. They'd come to the chasan kala's house, wake them up early, I'm sure that's what they wanted, and they would make sheva brachas in their house. So I saw that this is the minog, this is really the real minog of that many people have a minog that they dance the chasan on a zafraf. This is really not, this is an offshoot of that. This minog was the other way. They wouldn't dance the chasan, they would come a week later when they were already married. And the chasan and the kala were already living together. Then they'd come to their house to be mesameach them, and then they used to make sheva brachas. So you see from the Masechta Seifim that there used to be a sheva brachas when there was no food. Nothing to do with food. Chasan and the kala were walking down the street, 10 people surrounded them, they danced around them, they sang a song, and they made sheva brachas. That is obviously not the custom, as we all know. We only recite sheva brachas if there is a meal of bread. Now, the question is, who has to eat the bread? Does the chasan and the kala have to eat bread? Or does at least 10 people or 7 people at the table have to eat the bread? What happens in the following scenario, where chasan and kala are invited to come to a bris? They're attending a bris. And someone hears that there's a chasan and kala, and they right away scream, let's make sheva brachas. Let's make sheva brachas. That's not right. You're not supposed to make sheva brachas. Sheva brachas, not al-sa'i marvin. Sheva brachas is only recited when the suda was made specifically for the chasan and the kala. So if you show up and you happen to be at a bris, sheva brachas is not recited. He writes mefurish over here in Sevei Samachas, he writes, chasan v'kala shabam mi'atzam l'misada. Another case, let's say they show up to a restaurant. They come to the pizza store. And they're sitting down there eating their pizza, they're not bothering anyone. All of a sudden some chacham decides, oh, we have a chasan and kala here. So let's make sheva brach. And he goes, he finds wine, makes a whole eisik. The whole thing is wrong. You're not supposed to do it. Why? Because aim of varchan sham sheva brachas, af shaychem sham oidanoshav al eisik shochan. He could be of other people at his table. Gam loy besuda she'en tzvichem behem parma chadoshus. Gam imboa hizmul eisik suda kavua. Even if you invited the chasan and the kala. So huchnu l'chvaydem b'oifim yuchel. Unless you made something special for them. So Rav Shechta says over a story, there was that one of the Chag Smichas that they had for the those that were got their Smicha, so it happened to be a newly married couple. and at the meal, someone decided, "No, let's make Sheva Brachas. We have a Chazan Akala here." And Shach said, "What are you making Sheva Brachas for? This party is not for the Chazan Akala. This party is for those people receiving their smicha. So if they'd make a separate thing and they'd make on the invitation and would be making a Sheva Brachas, or you had a special dish served for them, no, you could. But if Chazan Akala just walk into a room and there's already a pre-existing meal and no one's there for them, Sheva Brachas is not recited. And this you hear all the time. You hear people on the microphone, "We're making Sheva Brachas at the bris or at the bar mitzvah." Why? Unless you made something special for them. He writes at the end, he says, "Af omnom im bevoyam ha'isifu eza macholim l'chvaydom." If they're serving special food because of the chassid and the kala, "Af she'chassid v'kala v'yochlu be'atzimom mevarche sheva brachas." So this is a mistake that many people make. They're so quick right away to make sheva brachas and chassid and kala in the room. That's not always the case, and sheva brachas shouldn't be recited.
If you're making a bris and you know chassid and kala will be there, can you announce an advance?
So what I think you should do is you should try to make something special for them if you want to make a sheva brachas. Again, you're not mechoyev to. If you want to make sheva brachas, so you should probably make something special. A Marvin Simcha is only by a wedding. It's only by a wedding with another event. It wouldn't be a Marvin. I just think there would be no chiv sheva brachas unless you make something special for that cup.
And if they're going to someone else's wedding, the same week,
so that's a different shayla. That's a different shayla about making two groups of sheva brachas. That's already discussed in Shulchan Aruch about splitting up those types of scenarios. But again, if a chassid kala just happened to walk in together to another event and it wasn't made for them, then sheva brachas is not recited. The shayla is, what do you need to serve at the sheva brachas to make sheva brachas? What happens if you want to have a milchika sheva brachas? You know, towards the end of Sheva Brachas, everyone's already sick of the fleishiks. You want to make a milchika Sheva Brachas, a very nice milchika Sheva Brachas, some beautiful milchika restaurants today. No basar. Would that still be considered a Sheva Brachas that would recite what we know today as Sheva Brachas? So this is really totally in something that we spoke about a few weeks ago when we talked about eating basar on Yom Tov. We quoted the Gemara in Pesachim, which everyone misquotes, where the Gemara says that Bizman HaZeh, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, ain't Simcha El B'yayin. The Gemara says, you don't have to eat meat. People misquote this Gemara. It's unbelievable. You'll hear this over Yom Tov all the time. Ain't simcha el b'basar. There's no such Gemara. The Gemara says actually the opposite. The Gemara says, b'zman hazeh, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, ain't simcha el b'yayin. The Gemara says, b'zman ha-mikdash, then you're right, ain't simcha el b'basar. But today, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's ain't simcha el b'yayin. So therefore, you don't have to eat meat. You only have to have wine. So if you're going to make a Sheva Brachas, you better make sure there's wine at the table. But what about meat? Do you have to have meat? Can you have a dairy Sheva Brachas? So this Shiloh was actually presented to the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik was asked the Shaila by a certain Rav, seems like he was a Rav, who was very poor, and he was making a chasana for his child. And it was too expensive for him to make a fleshig chasana. So he wanted to make a milk chasana. And he sent to the Maram Shik, "Is it okay if I make a milk chasana? It's cheap." So the Maram Shik works through the Sugya, which the way we were work through the Sugya is, well, it's a Sudas Mitzvah. Does a Sudas Mitzvah mean you have to have meat or not? So we learned last week that the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, clearly is of the opinion that meat is not required on Yom Tov. One is not obligated to eat meat on Yom Tov. Maybe he has to drink wine, but we don't say ain't simcha el b'basar today. You only have to have wine. But the Maram Shik comes up with an interesting chap. He says no. He thinks that at a Sudas Mitzvah, like a wedding, you would have to have meat, even according to the Beis Yosef. Why? Because he learns the Gemara like this. When the Gemara says, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, ain't simcha el b'yayin, because when I come to my Yom Tov meal, and I say to myself, I'm going to eat steak, I'm not enjoying that steak. Even though steak is an enjoyable food and it brings you intrinsic joy, you're not able to completely enjoy it because you know you should really be eating shlomim. And you're only not eating shlomim because of our aveiros, and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So that's why there's no simcha. But if it would be an event that you wouldn't be eating shlomim anyways, if you're going to a chasana, even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't eat carbon shlomim at the chasana. They ate chulin meat. So then, of course, writes the Maram Shik, you must have basar at the meal. So the Maram Shik says, if so, even the Beis Yosef agrees. You might not need to have basar on Yom Tov, but you'd have to have it at a Sudas Mitzvah. Then the Maram Shik goes on to say, well, it depends what's the nature of the Suda. If the Suda is al Simcha, then you have to have meat. If the nature of the Suda is for another reason, then you don't have to have meat. What does he mean? So if you look over here, number 23, in the second paragraph, he draws a distinction between a pidgin aben and a bris. He says that a pidgin aben, the purpose for the Suda, is not for simcha purposes. He calls it over here, it's just there to be mefarsem a milsa, the parsume milsa. If you mefarsem, I guess, some form of something that your kid lived past 30 days. But he holds it's not al simcha. Therefore, he says you don't have to have meat. Mashenki is something that's there for a Sudas Mitzvah, then meat is required. He says at the end of the piece, maybe a bris also doesn't need fleishiks, because maybe a Sudas bris is not a Sudas Simcha. It's a different reason, whatever the reason is. If it's not a Sudas Simcha, then you don't have to have fleishiks. But he comes out at the end, and he really thinks that this Yid should have fleishiks, and he writes at the end, it's better to have less people at the wedding and serve fleishiks, then have more people at the wedding and serve machitz. That was the end of the answer that the Maram Shik answered to this fellow. So l'chayra, one would have assumed, based on this Maram Shik, that every wedding has to have fleishiks, and not only should it, you should also have to have basar, not just chicken. We spoke about last time, when we talk about having meat, when we talk about simcha b'basar, does that mean cow, or does that mean chicken? So we mentioned it's a machlokes achrayim, but if you really want to be real machmer, so next time you know your friend is making a wedding, tell him he has to have cow, he has to have a steak, because ain't simcha b'basar like the Maram Shik, you gotta have meat. But the Maram Shik seems to hold you need to have meat at both a chasna and the chayr ruhu adin sheva brachas. Rav Shechter says of a story that many years ago he got invited to a chasna, and he looks at the invitation. It says the invitation it's going to be a dairy wedding. So he writes back in the response card, "Ayin Maram Shik even as a simen peitas." This Maram Shik. Chasna writes back. Chasna writes back. I'm sorry, I don't have time to look at it. I'll look at it after the wedding. Totally missed the idea of the Maram. So Rav Shechter thought that year, really, it's not right. The Maram Shik is saying very clearly, you're not supposed to have milchiks at a chasana. Someone told me they were just at a chasana recently where the shmorg was milchiks, and then they turned over and had fleishikas food at the meal. That, I think, is okay. I have no problem with that. Now, this Maram Shik sounds like toiv yoyser, it's better. Does he mean you can't have milchiks? Does it mean it's also you're not yoyser the chasana? I'm not sure. But it sounds very compelling that you really shouldn't have milchiks, and that's what Rav Shechter was telling this fellow back. This guy had a reason why he was doing milchiks, because he had a cheshbon, because he had to make his wedding at a certain place, and that place he didn't trust the kashrus for fleishiks. He held the milchiks were better. So he held it was better to have milchiks. Okay, that's what happened. Rav Shechter said at the end of the story, Nebuch, the couple ended up getting divorced. That was the end of the story. Not because of this, but okay. Nothing to do with that, but that was the end of the story. So rarely do you hear people making a milchik chasana, but you hear people making milchik d'gesheva brachas. That is quite common. Why is that so different? If the whole simcha, if the suda is al simcha, and we have this rule in simcha ela b'basar, so you have to have meat. Now, if you want to opt out against this Maram Shik and say you don't have to have meat, but at least you have to have wine. At least you have to have wine. You got to have something of simcha. So if it's either going to be basar or it's going to be yain, you can't have neither. Right? I was telling my Talmidim today, I said, you ever wonder why there's bottles of wine at all the weddings? So it's not because the yeshiva guys come to the chasanas late and they card them at the bar and they have nothing to drink. That's not why they put wine on the table. They put wine on the table because you have to have yain. Ain't simcha ela b'yain. So you have to have at least yayin at the Sheva Brachas.
The Sheva Brachas are on the benching, not on the food, as we said before. So why would it matter?
Well, because clearly you have to eat something. Right? That's what we're going to do there.
But the benching is what's lacking.
Right. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, it never says anything about eating meat. It doesn't say anything. It just says you have to wash. So as far as the simple reading of the Mechaber, all you have to have is bread and move on. So that's what the Maram Shik seems to be saying, at least for the Chasen that you can't do. If you look in the Sefer, Sairis Bechuva, he wants to say a different shayla. Let's say there's no wine. Let's say there's no wine. No wine, a dry sheva brachas. No wine anywhere. Is that allowed? So he says that's not right. Because what happened to Ein Simcha Ela B'Yayin? The Gemara says you have to have at least yayin. So he says there's a machlokes rishonim between the Rambam and others. What happens if you come to the sheva brachas? There's no wine. There's no wine anywhere. There's no chamar medina. There's nothing. Can you still make the sheva brachas?
We're talking about during the sutra or the...
No, we're talking about the actual, the brachas part. So he says that's a... What? Right. So the question is, can you at least make the other Sheva Brachas? And the Bayi Pira Gavra is not really one of the Sheva Brachas. That's just an introduction. Can you still make the other Brachas? So it's Machloikis Rishayin. So he says, in the Sairis B'Tshuva, he thinks no. He thinks even those Rishayin that hold you don't need wine, that's because they were talking about under the Chuppah. But at a Sheva Brachas, the whole Yisoida Sheva Brachas is Simcha. And Ein Simcha El B'Yayin. So if there's no wine, it doesn't go. There's no Simcha. So he thinks that if there's no wine, it would be a real problem. So I would have thought, not only do you need to have wine for the Sheva Brachas, you should have to have wine during the meal. Someone should be drinking wine during the meal. The Nitzei Gavriel paskins that Lamaisa, neither of these two things are Ma'akev B'Dievet. Although it's preferred to have both Basar and Yayin at the Sheva Brachas, it's not Ma'akev. He writes, you can still have Sheva Brachas without either of those two components. But I would have thought from these Achreinim, it sounds like it's something important. When you're hosting a Sheva Brachas, maybe you should make sure to have wine at the Sheva Brachas. Besides with the drinking Sheva Brachas, you should have wine at the table to make it Ein Simcha Ela B'Yayin. What happens if the Chas and the Kala don't want to eat? Chas and Kala don't want to eat. Everyone else is enjoying. Chas and Kala are sick, they're nauseous, whatever it is. They don't touch a morsel of food. Can you still make Sheva Brachas? Everyone else is eating, everyone else is enjoying. Can you still make Sheva Brachas? So the Tzitz Eliezer writes over here a story that he was at a chasana where the chasin fasted on the erev of his chasana, which, like the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, and after the yichidrum, the chasin was feeling very shvach, and all he could handle was a coffee. All he took was a coffee. He didn't touch anything, not even mizrach, nothing, just a coffee. Now that's not a from a health point. That's not a good idea because you're going to dehydrate. If that's all you're going to have after a fast, you're going to end up dehydrating. But okay, that was a story. So somehow the Tzitz Elazar got wind of this, and he realized the Chassan is not eating anything. He didn't wash. He did nothing. So he realized we're going to have a problem. We're going to make Sheva Brachas at the end of the Chassan. It's going to be a joke. Can you make Sheva Brachas at a Sheva Brachas where the Chassan didn't partake in bread? So he doesn't say whether or not it's for sure a problem or not a problem, but he just writes that he realized that this is a problem. So he went over to the chassan and he nudged the chassan, no, go wash. He told the chassan wash and eat a kazai sapas so he could circumvent the whole shadow. So he said later on, he found it's taka mafurisha shlomo kluger. Shlomo kluger writes mafurisha that the chassan must have pas in order to have sheva brach. So if the chassan shows up to one of these sheva brachas and says, I'm full, I'm good, I'll just sit around and I'll enjoy the speeches about me and about my family, I won't eat anything. According to the Eliezer Shlomo Kluger, it's posh to suffic if you're allowed to recite the Sheva Brachas. So at the end of the tshuva, he writes that someone told him that there's a bachacha, the Ishal of Ram, the bachacha Rav said, no, it's not a problem. So it's Eliezer wrote back to that, he said, listen, maybe yeah, maybe not, I didn't see this inside, but Rav Shlomo Kluger outranks him. If Rav Shlomo Kluger said it's a problem, end of story. That's the Tzitz Eliezer's opinion. If you look over in the sefer that I quote over here, so that's another shadow we have to get to for next week, is what about if one side is there? Let's say you have a Sheva Brachas on only one side. I was recently at an event where the chassan had never had an allergic reaction during Sheva Brachas. He had to be taken away. He had to go to the doctor. It was a whole mess. The Kal sitting there by herself, she's, you know, enjoying as best as she can. Would we still say Sheva Brachas in that case? That's one shayla. The other shayla, let's say the Sheva Brachas, the Kal was never even invited to. Let's say the Sheva Brachas just for guys. She's not even invited. She's a real sport. She's not even invited. Bunch of yeshiva guys get together for Sheva Brachas. The wedding they let her come to. That's one shadow. In some of the chassidish communities, they talk to have them in separate rooms. And that's always a shadow. Do you bring them back together for Sheva Brachas? That's a shadow. But that's where Mirza Shem will get to next week, such a shadow. In Sevea Smachas, he talk to paskins that not like that. He writes, although lechatchila the chassin should eat, he says, b'dievet, it's okay even if the chassin ate none of the food. B'dievet, if the chassin just sat there and took in the rest of the simcha, you can still recite Sheva Brachas. So you don't have to make, so again, tonight we're talking about when you're hosting the Sheva Brachas. So if you're hosting the Sheva Brachas, although you should probably push the chassin to try to wash, if he doesn't want to, I don't know if it's kedai to make a fight over. The last thing I want to get to tonight is that there's a very interesting gemara. The gemara says in Ksubis that we make birchas chassanim b'beis chassanim. So Taisus and Sukkah learns that Sheva Brachas is only made in the chassin's house. When the chassin and kal eats in his house, then Sheva Brachas is recited. And that's the way Rabbi Yosef Kaira paskens the Shulchan Aruch. That Sheva Brachas is only recited in the Chassan's house. The base Chassanah means mamish in the Chassan's house. So the house that the Chassan, so if the Chassan is going to be moving homes, he's going to be 4 days in this house, 4 days, and that's fine. But it has to be in his house. The Taz says no. The Taz writes that today we find any place where you make a simcha dikka environment, that's enough to say Sheva Brachas. And that's what most Ashkenazim Jews are saying. We make Sheva Brachas in a hotel, we make Sheva Brachas in a restaurant, in the neighbor's house, in a basement. It's not my house. My house is here. They make it in the yeshiva. We're all saying on the Taz. But the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, by letter of the law, holds that Sheva Brachas is only recited in the Chassan's house. Svardim takar makpe like this. Rabbi Avadya Yosef held that Svardim only make Sheva Brachas if it's in the Chassan's house. If it's not in the Chassan's house, there's no Sheva Brachas in the neighbor's house, there's no Sheva Brachas in the restaurant, there's no Sheva Brachas in the hall, nothing. Sheva Brachas is only recited in the base Chassan alone. It could be. I'm not sure where that minute came from. It's just the opposite of us. We do it the week before. We do the offer. So the shayla is, what happens if you're an Ashkenazi and you want to make Sheva Brachas for your Israelish friend? Are you allowed to make Sheva Brachas for him in your house? So supposedly someone told me today that Rabbi Avadya holds yes. Bavadja held that Svardim, that are attending Ashkenazic-made Sheva Brachas, they're allowed to have the Sheva Brachas tried on their behalf. Rabbi Belsky is quoted over in Shulchan Alevi where he thinks no. He thinks if you're going to host Svardim for a Sheva Brachas, you cannot make the Sheva Brachas and make the Brachas. Since the Svardim wouldn't make the Brachas, because it's not in their house, you can't house such a Sheva Brachas. So if you're going to have Svardim for a Sheva Brachas, you're going to make Sheva Brachas for your Svardish friends, make sure you do it right, make sure you do it in their house. Mr. Shem, next week we'll talk about